Honest Truth with Benita Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.
Joining us this evening to elaborate on why South Africa's future food security depends on protecting every drop of water as we work toward transforming our environmental ambition is Chief Executive Officer at the South African Urban Food and Farming Trust, Kurt Ackerman. Kurt, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
This year's Food Indaba places water, not food, at the center of the conversation. Why is it impossible to have a meaningful discussion about food without first addressing water?
So water is life, and that's a bit trite, but in a practical sense, you know, all of the crops that we eat, all of the livestock that provide part of the meat that we consume, all of the washing that we do, the clean up, our bodies are mostly water. You know, we can't talk about food, nutrition, health, well-being without including water in our discussion. And this year we're focusing on that.
Yeah. And from your perspective, Kurt, what is the single most important way that changing water systems are already reshaping food systems in our country?
So I think we can start with the climate crisis, which is already starting to affect our lives. What used to be normal is no longer that. Things are a bit weird. We get more or less the same rainfall right now, but in our part of the world anyway. But when it comes more intensely. We get storms, we get flash flooding, we get longer periods without rainfall. So we have drought or dry spells. So that right there is shaking up the systems that have been developed over decades and longer to help us, you know, have water from the tap when we need it and for our farmers to have water for irrigation when they need it.
With forecasts also pointing to another significant El Nino event and the possibility of drier conditions, maybe drought conditions, how prepared are we today compared to when, say, day zero first threatened the Western Cape?
I think we're better prepared in many ways. But that's part of what we'll be unpacking in our deep dive conference on the 24th of July. My understanding is that on the one hand, we still have really pretty good memory of what we went through. There's good infrastructure. There's still even some people who are showering with a bucket in the shower and flushing their toilets and, you know, bless them. But we have some sense of what it takes to respond to a drought. I think what we don't have is as good of an understanding of the links between the water scarcity and our food insecurity. And that's what we're trying to highlight here. You know, when there's no water, if people have water to drink, they can survive, but it takes months for the crops to come back. So, you know, there's this lag time, there are these interconnections. So we're trying to unpack those connections so that people can understand what their crisis response might be in terms of water and food, but also how we can avoid crisis, not just by focusing on water, but by making different choices with regards to the food that we buy and consume.
The 2026 Indaba Food Indaba theme is raw rivers, oceans, aquifers, and rainfall, happening from the 20th of July to the 2nd of August. Do share your thoughts and join us too on 0829-904-904. CEO at the SA Urban Food and Farming Trust, Kurt Ackerman, joining us this evening. How do, in fact, the rivers, the oceans, the aquifers, and the rainfall show up in our reality of urban food systems in Cape Town, Kurt?
We chose to highlight the diversity of these water sources because many of us, when we think about water and food, it's either, you know, the rainfall for the farmers, which is critically important, or it's the water that comes from a tap, which is also critically important. But water is in a system, it's in a cycle. Water flows. We often overlook our marine resources and the importance of those, and how we don't run out of water, but we can exploit the resources that are available, and they're based in water. And then the critical importance of our inland waterways, our catchment areas, our rivers, our lakes and our dams, and so on. We have a lot of irrigation that comes from those systems. We have a lot of drinking water that comes from those systems. And when farmers do use water for irrigation on their land, which is, you know, on paper, it's the biggest use of our freshwater resources, but those farmers are not using that water up. So what happens to that water when it goes down into the soil? Do we have ways of slowing down the runoff? There's this phrase called the walk-off. Can we slow down the flow of the water off of the fields that the farmers are growing and have time for that to percolate down into the aquifers? Can we understand how quickly or slowly we need to extract water from those aquifers, use that groundwater, which is a great resource, but if we use it too fast, we either use it up or we allow salt water, for example, to intrude and ruin those aquifers. So we want to highlight that water isn't just rain and isn't just the tap, but it's all of these interconnected in a system that we need to understand a bit better.
How does water insecurity also deepen existing inequalities, and who can access nutritious and affordable food, not just here in Cape Town, but in our country?
Yeah, that's a really important question. So much of our discussion about water and the food system falls to the issues that farmers face, which are important. But with most of our population living in urban areas and cities, what comes out of the tap, if there's something to come out of a tap, is also very important. So if we don't have enough water, if we don't have enough clean water, not just for drinking and cooking, but also for cleaning up and washing, it introduces all kinds of other problems. So our South Africans who are living already in vulnerable and marginalized conditions, they tend to have the greatest food insecurity and the greatest exposure to risks from either insufficient water or unclean water or enough water to wash up and keep their families and their surrounding communities healthy.
Further to that, Kurt, urbanization is also accelerating across the continent, placing growing pressure on aging infrastructure and natural resources. What role can cities also play in creating more resilient food and water systems, particularly in the context of accelerated climate events?
Yeah, that's a really crucial question for us. So we got a bit of an introduction to that during the Day Zero drought. But the biggest mind shift is that we used to have cities engineered to run off the water into stormwater systems and out into rivers and to the sea. Whereas now we want to collect that water. And we all understand that whether it's, you know, some tanks in your garden or a bit of rainwater or even the water that you run from the tap while you're waiting for it to heat up or in your shower, that all of that water, we can use the urban hard landscape as actually a way of collecting water for reuse. And that is the big shift. And as we get more urbanized, we actually have better collection areas if we can tap it, if we can engineer it properly, if we can store it well.
And how do you think are urban farmers and community gardens already adapting to changing water availability and higher costs within urban environments?
So urban farmers are a particular kind of farmer. They're not growing huge amounts for commercial purposes. They're usually growing for themselves, their family, their household, their, maybe a bit in their community. And they are some of the most adaptive and agile farmers because of that smaller scale and the fact that they tend to be very hands-on. You know, they don't have 5,000 hectares or whatnot that are all mechanized and using drones and remote sensing and other kinds of things where a farmer can't walk the entirety of his or her land. Whereas an urban farmer knows every square meter of that land intimately and works it carefully. And so they're quite sensitive to it. And I think they're changing their practices. The work that we do across the Cape Flats, for example, a lot more green cover, green compost, cover crops, composting more than ever, the use of gray water where it's safe, and being much more attuned to the cycles of rain. I think this El Nino is going to really test that, but we're seeing some really positive signs from those urban farmers.
Do our city planning and budgeting processes, do you feel, could recognize the value of urban farms as part of water and climate resilience?
So I think we're quite fortunate in the city of Cape Town, at least, to have had quite a progressive thinking about that last phrase you used, which is resilience. And of course, food, water, emergency services, all of these kinds of things are part of our response to these sort of shocks that come up, shocks and stresses. And so I think compared to many of the other major metros in South Africa, Cape Town is ahead. But at the same time, the budgets, the implementation, the mindset, the delivery is still a work in progress. So I think we need to acknowledge the work that's been done in terms of policy and planning, but still hold the city accountable for actual delivery. I think we're doing well, but we need to see the evidence. And I do believe that we're going to be tested here, whether it's this year or next year. We know the drought will return.
And what do you think are the most dangerous silos in how we govern water, food, housing, and even planning in our cities?
So that's a really important question as well. Many of our city departments really struggle to understand that they've got a mandate with regards to food. It is not entirely clear. We don't have a department of food, you know, in any of our cities. And so looking at these cross-cutting issues like food, I mean, it's essential. Everybody eats, we have to eat, and yet no one in the city government is responsible for looking after that fact, presents the biggest challenge. So the silos are everywhere. The real opportunity, I think, is in linking our, for example, water and sanitation with some of these other systems, you know, our clinics and so on, and connecting with people's health and well-being. The departments that are on the line helping people with those issues is where we can start. And then we can build on that. One can talk about urban planning. One can talk about, you know, markets and trading and all of these other functions. But if we start with those four and they work well together, and we've seen evidence that they can do that on some pilot projects, then I think we're in a good place. If they can't, then I think we're going to struggle to pull in some of the less centrally involved departments.
Finally, Kurt, the food in Durban, which gets underway from the 20th of this month, includes walking tours, youth workshops, and community experiences alongside expert conferences. How important, in fact, is our participation, is public participation in building resilience?
So we all have a role to play. Not everyone is going to spend all day in a conference going deep into these issues, but we all can learn a little bit more and take a step. You know, I often say progress, not perfection. And if we all do a little bit, we can make a difference. So the Food in Durban is designed to appeal to anyone with any level of interest and time and income. So I would encourage people to look at the foodindaba.org website and find something. We've got stuff with the Science Center for little kids and food jams for the teens. And as you said, walking tours. We've got a virtual event as well where people can learn. You know, we look at the coming crisis in water for ourselves with the next drought, but we'll be taking advice from people who are living in that crisis now from across the global south. And so it's those kinds of things. But if we can each just do a bit, then it will help the overall effort. And we know this problem isn't going away. The droughts, these cycles are only going to worsen in terms of their extremity. And so it's part of our future going forward.
Chief Executive Officer at the South African Urban Food and Farming Trust, Kurt Akerman. Appreciate your time and insights, Kurt. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
Smile. I love your station. 90.4 FM.
Yes, yes.